Tonight, prayed a lot about what to preach on, and I decided to preach on nothing. And so here's the thing: is when Pastor gets back, be sure and tell him Pastor Willman preached on absolutely nothing Sunday night. And so, you know, the thing about it is that they say a lot of times a preacher has to preach on something. Well, tonight I'm going to preach on nothing. And so, you know, the thing about it is, though, is there's a lot of nothing that can be applied to our lives. And so if you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, we're going to read one verse of Scripture, and then we'll pray, and then we'll preach on nothing. So Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. The Bible says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you do a work in our midst tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you use the Word of God for your honor and glory, and we pray that you help us to learn from your word, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, like I said, we're gonna study the four nothings in the Bible. And so here's the thing is, now you can honestly say, I went to church and I applied nothing to my life. And so, anyways, nothing convicted me at the end. And so, and nothing challenged me to make a decision at the end of the service. And so here's the thing is, tonight we're going to talk about nothing. And the first nothing is the nothing of activity in the Christian service. You know, the Bible says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." You know, the thing about it is that the problem of strife a lot of times is amongst Christians. You know, I was talking to a pastor the other day, and he says, you know, the funny part about it is he said, most of the strife that happens in the church does not happen from the outside in. Most of the strife happens from the inside in. Whether it be so-and-so sat in my pew. And the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Here's the thing is that nothing means absolutely nothing, zilch. It's like you tell your kids, they've been bad, emerald, you've been terrible, you get nothing. Well, what about a cookie? No, nothing. What about dinner? Nothing. And anyways, the thing about it is nothing means absolutely nothing. And so the Bible says there should be nothing done through strife or vainglory. Strife is anger or bitter disagreement or a conflict. And the thing about it is there should be no bitter disagreements here in this church. There should be no conflicts. And the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Too many times there's something done through strife or vainglory. Not necessarily in our church, but hopefully not in our church. But the thing about it is that too many times there is. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, and hitherto were not able to bear it. Neither ye yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm Paul, of another of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" And so the thing about it is we see here in the church of Corinth that basically God is saying, hey, listen, the thing about it is strife stems from carnal Christian living. Strife comes from baby Christians. And so this is why God says we're supposed to grow in grace. We're supposed to let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And so the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, strife often keeps bad company. Just like I have my sister to visit, strife often has bad company. And so, anyways, turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at a lot of scripture tonight. And so, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." And the Bible goes on, and here's the thing is, you know what? Often strife keeps bad company. A lot of times when we harbor strife in our life, it affects all areas of a Christian life. And so the thing about it is if we catch ourselves having strife, especially in the church or anywhere, the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Thing about it is you know what? A lot of times, if we're honest with ourselves, we read the Bible, too many times we find that strife has bad company. And strife is also earthly, sensual, and devilish. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And so the Bible says in James chapter 3 and verses 14 through 18, the Bible says this: "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." And continuing on, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So here's the thing, is the Bible is saying basically, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But you know what the thing about it is that, you know, the key word in that last group of verses we read was peace. So when things are done in the Spirit, and things are done out of spiritual maturity, and when things are done as a walk with God, there'll be peace. But when there's carnality, when there's baby Christians that have refused to grow, what happens is strife. You say, well, how do you overcome strife? Well, I'm glad you asked. And so here's the thing, is the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8, the Bible says this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." There's two words there that overcome strife: humble and servant. See, the thing about it is we're supposed to be Christ-like. And I'll be honest with you, you know, the thing about it is Christ was a servant to the point where he gave his life for us. And I'll be honest with you, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Here's the thing, is if I become a servant, it's hard to argue with a servant. You know what? You're a dirty, rotten, good for nothing. Okay. You know what? You should go over and do thus and so. Okay. You know what? I don't like that you did. Okay. Here's the thing, as a servant, basically, you know what? It's somebody who serves. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, humility is realizing where we are in position with Christ. Here's the thing, is you know what? When it comes down to it, I am a sinner saved by grace. You know what? I was on my way to hell. You know what the thing about it is it was my sin that condemned me to hell. And then you know what? It was Christ who came down and said, you know what? I am going to die on a cross for a lowly sinner such as Pastor Willman. And you know what? The thing about it is I did nothing. I did nothing to deserve salvation. And that Christ in his love and his mercy came down to the cross and said, I'm going to die for your sins. He died on the cross for my sins. And then you know what? After he paid the price and after I became a child of God, you know what? The thing about it is that God took and he decided that he had a will and a plan for my life. And God decided that he would use a wicked, rotten sinner. And God decided somebody that deserved nothing, that he would do something with my life. And the thing about it is all I deserve is hell. And when I realize where I stand, it's hard not to be humble. To realize I became adopted into a family of God that just, you know what? I never deserved. I wasn't born into royalty. I was reborn into royalty. I was adopted into God's family. And so the thing about it is when it comes down to it, humility overcomes strife. And Christ is our perfect example of humility. The next nothing is found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Basically, it's talking about anxious. You know, the thing about it is too many times we just live the first two words of that verse. Be careful. And the Bible, you know, we leave off the 4-0. And the thing about it is too many times we're worried over what's going to happen. We're worried over our finances. We're worried over our church. We're worried about so-and-so. We're worried about a car. We're worried about this, and we're worried about that, and we're worried about... And here's the thing, as the Bible says, be careful for nothing. What anxiety does is it destroys our health, it destroys our homes, it destroys our dreams, and it destroys our accomplishments. Anxiety does not help us cope for tomorrow. It destroys today. And so the thing about it is when it comes down to it, faith in Christ overcomes anxiety. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here's the thing is, you know how we overcome anxiety? The Bible says it right here. It's a threefold outline. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And here's the thing is, you know what? When we pray and give things over to God, you know, the thing about it is I'll be honest with you. If we are, the Bible talks about casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Most of the time we are careful over those things that which we cannot control. The thing about it is we can't control other people. As much as we'd like to control Brother Aaron, He cannot be controlled. You know what? We just got to pray about it. As much as we like to control our siblings or our enemies or our coworkers, the thing about it is they can't be controlled. We can't control the weather. We can't control the stock market. We can't control our nation. We can't control our politics. We can't control a lot of things. But you know what we can do? We can pray. And too many times we make the statement, well, the only thing I can do is pray. We're belittling the very best thing that we can do. And the thing about it is we ought to be men and women of prayer. Why? It battles anxiety. And here's the thing is, the Bible says, and with thanksgiving. You know, too many times we forget about what God has done for us in the past. When we're anxious about the future, it's because we forgot about the past. Hey, listen, just like I said before, you know what? We forget about salvation and the fact that, you know what? God has already given us way more than we deserve. God has already... And just think about the blessings that He gives us on a daily basis. You know, the thing about it is I can go back through my life like a lot of you can. And you know what? I can go back and remember answered prayer after answered prayer after answered prayer. Times where things looked bleak and God intervened and God made everything. You know, here's the thing is just look at the life of many of the Bible characters, real people in the Bible who God did miraculous things for. Just like God still does miraculous things in our lives. And too many times we lose thanksgiving because we lose sight of what God has done for us in the past. Because here's the thing is when we start to realize that God has been faithful and God has never left us stranded, and that the only time we've been alone is when we've walked away from God, and the only times things have been a mess is when we've tried to handle them, and we realize how faithful and true and just and loving God has been, that is when we forget all those things and we're anxious. We're careful. But the Bible says, be careful for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the thing about it is faith in Christ overcomes anxiety. So we have the nothing of the activity of the Christian life, the nothing of anxiety in the daily life. The next we see the nothing of almighty power. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. The Bible says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Consider the challenge to Mary's faith. Imagine this, a virgin getting ready to marry her beloved husband, and she finds out that God claims that she's going to be the mother of the very Son of God. Let me tell you, if you hadn't read the Bible, that would seem pretty impossible. And you know, the thing about it is this was to be accomplished without a man. You know, the thing about it is every obstacle we face is tempered by this nothing. Do you realize that whatever trials, whatever testing that we're going through, whatever is going through our lives, you know what? With God, nothing shall be impossible. Faith grows by acceptance of this nothing. You say, how does that make sense? Faith grows by accepting nothing. Because realizing that with nothing, or with God, nothing shall be impossible. Jeremiah accepted this nothing and great things happened. Accepting Gabriel's nothing will chase our doubts away. You know, the thing about it is just like we said in an earlier point, all you got to do is go over the past. Not our past, because here's the thing, is our past a lot of times isn't very bright. But you look at the past of God, you see perfection. You see the fact that God, you know, a lot of times out in the world, you hear this deal about thinking outside the box. You know, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of times where you think you know the answer on what God should do. And then he comes around with this idea that you totally couldn't even think up of if you wanted to. And you thought, you know what? Man, that was a better answer than I thought God should do. And you know, the thing about it is why is that? Because for with God, nothing shall be impossible. He can do whatever he wants. He's the one that set the rules. He can break them if he wants. He can deny the law of gravity. He's even stopped time for a period of time just because he was God and just because he could. Why? Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is everything. He is all-knowing. He is all-wise. And he can do whatever he pleases. And so therefore, if God is not bound by time and space and laws of gravity and physics and or anything else, how big is our problem to him? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I think about the sermon you preached a long time ago, and he created the heavens also. You know, the thing about it is that God is capable of anything, and nothing shall be impossible with God. So we have the nothing in the Christian service, the nothing of anxiety in daily life, the nothing of the almighty power. Next, we have the last nothing. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. You might even be able to tell Pastor, he preached about nothing and got out early. And so here's the thing is, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, because thou sayest I am rich and increasest with goods, I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The last point is the nothing of the apathetic Christian. Here you have in Laodicea, basically the lukewarm church of the last days. The Bible talks about, I wish you were either cold or hot, but instead, basically, God says, I want to spew you out of my mouth. Thing about it is too many times we live in that lukewarm Christianity. We live on that deal where we think we're okay. We think that, you know what, we don't have to improve. We think that, you know what, we're all right. We think that, you know what, we don't have to go to any extremes. You know, the thing about it is that I don't want to have to read my Bible. That's just too extreme. I don't want to have to pray every day. That's just too extreme. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And here's the thing is I don't want to get too involved in church. That's just too extreme. And what happens is that we live in this lukewarm Christianity. We live in it. Here's the thing is, I heard about a church the other day that canceled services because it was Mother's Day. What's wrong with that? It's lukewarm Christianity. And bless God, we got a church that, here's the thing is, there's been snowstorms and there's been a level 3 where no one can get out. And you know what? Pastors at least preach behind the pulpit and people can listen from their homes. And here's the thing is, what is that? That's a real walk with God. That's realizing that with God, nothing shall be impossible. But listen, that as a Christian, my life is supposed to revolve around Christ and that I'm supposed to put him first. And so here's the thing is that when it comes down to it, this church in Laodicea, there was a lukewarm church. They were focused on material possessions rather than walk with God. They were focused on money rather than giving. They were focused on the building rather than the service that the building was made for. They were focused on investments. And here's the thing is the Bible basically says here that we read in Revelation, I am rich. And it goes on later on, and have need of nothing. Lukewarm Christians accomplish nothing. Thing about it is Christians who refuse to get out of their comfort zone accomplish nothing. Christians who refuse to do God's will accomplish nothing. Christians who refuse to witness have nothing when it comes to heaven for rewards. Because the thing about it is our goal as Christians is to share the gospel. And here's the thing is, we'll be standing up there with empty pockets because we've never gave a track out once, or we've never witnessed to other people. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, lukewarm souls around a lukewarm church remain lost. And the thing about it is visitors never come to a lukewarm church. Why? Because nothing's ever happening. I'm so glad that this church is not a lukewarm church. I tell you what, all you got to do is get involved, and between VBS activities every month and the different ministries and veteran service and revivals and all that other stuff, I tell you what, this is the last place you want to be if you're a lukewarm Christian, and praise God for that. But the thing about it is that souls remain lost around a lukewarm church. The question is are we as individuals going through religious motions? The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 12, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Is it nothing to you? See, the thing about it is too many times, you know what, I'll be honest with you, all we have to do is set foot outside of this building, and sometimes not even outside this building. But the thing about it is all we have to do is go to a grocery store, and we're surrounded by people that are lost and dying and going to hell. You know, the thing about it is all you have to do is go to the post office, and you're surrounded with people that are lost and dying and going to hell. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Do you have no compassion for the lost? Do you have no burden for the lost? Do you have no urge to give them a track? Do you have no urge to share the gospel with them? Our neighbors, you know what? A lot of times our neighbors are lost and dying and going to hell. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Too many times we have family members that are lost and dying and going to hell. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? See, the thing about it is when we're lukewarm Christians, it is nothing to us. We don't care. All we're worried about is what our comfort zone is like, what we are comfortable with. And you know what? We don't want to step out and give a track. Why? Because we might get uncomfortable. And the thing about it is forget the fact that they're going to burn and die in a very uncomfortable and tormenting hell if they don't accept Christ as their Savior. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And so when it comes down to it, a lukewarm Christian says, you know what? It doesn't bother me that souls are going to hell. It doesn't bother me that we're not reaching the lost. It doesn't bother me that our church isn't a lighthouse to a very dark and dying world. Here's the thing is, I'm comfortable where I am. I'm fine where I'm at. And what we're saying is, you know what? I'm a very carnal Christian. You know what? And here's the thing is, I'm lukewarm. And it is nothing to me, all that pass by. And I'll be honest with you, there's a big problem there. How will we answer to God for our apathy? I'll be honest with you. There's been too many times in my life where it has been nothing. And I don't want to answer to God for those times. Those missed opportunities. One person said, we have no business living ordinary lives in such an extraordinary time. Because the thing about it is you know what? There are so many that need the gospel. There are so many that need us to be extraordinary people. The Bible says that we are to be a peculiar people. Not someone that blends in. Not someone that just kind of has camouflage. We need people that stand out and say, you know what? I love the Lord. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. Too many times we'll sit down in the pews, we'll take and we'll sit down in our home, and we'll sit down in our work, and you know what? We won't lift high the royal banner. You know what? What happened is we'll just be, it's nothing to me. And the thing about it is what happens is too many times, like I joked around at the beginning, nothing will move us. Nothing will challenge us. Nothing will improve. And what we find is that God does nothing with our lives. So tonight, let me encourage all of us, myself included, respond to the nothings of the Bible. Let's put away strife. Let's stop worrying. Let's trust in God and let's overcome apathy. And let nothing hold us back from full commitment to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for these nothings that you placed in the Bible. Dear Heavenly Father, this is one time where nothing brings a whole lot of conviction. And dear Heavenly Father, if we're honest with ourselves, none of us should not be convicted by nothing. And dear Heavenly Father, as we come to this invitation, I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to let nothing keep us from making the decisions that you'd have us to make. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.